This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 229. This podcast is brought to you by Virtue Labs. Virtue Labs is a new hair care brand with a vision to give everyone the best hair scientifically possible via an incredible new protein called alpha keratin 60KU. It was discovered 6 years ago by a group of bioscientists and has the ability to resurface and fill in cracks from damage, giving more bounce, shine, and strength to your hair. And now you can get it exclusively in Virtue Labs' line of shampoos, conditioners, and styling products. Just go to virtuelabs.com and use the promo code MTA to get 10% off plus free shipping.
This podcast is brought to you by Generation UCAN, the revolutionary new way for runners to fuel. UCAN keeps your blood sugar stable and allows your body to burn fat. Generation UCAN, their sugar and then their science. Visit GenerationUCAN.com and use the promo code MTAMAINE, that's MTAMAINE, MTAMAINE, to save 15% off your order. That's GenerationUCAN.com and use the code MTAMAINE. Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where we inspire and empower you to go the distance. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Mount Desert Island Marathon in the beautiful state of Maine, plus Angie shares what she has learned from running 50 marathons. That's right, folks, 50. And of course, to connect with us and our amazing coaches and community, you can learn about Academy membership when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. So Angie, it's great to be recording another race recap. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the year, we really had no idea what races we'd be doing or if we'd be moved or still in our old house, or just so many things were up in the air back then. Remember that?
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how everything has fallen into place and to be settled into our new home and really happy here in Pennsylvania.
I think we kind of had an idea that we wouldn't do very many races this year, but turns out we're doing just as many as we always do.
Well, maybe a few less for me, but yeah, we've managed to fit some unique ones in and have a lot of fun doing it.
And you're signed up for another marathon before the year's over.
I just signed up for the Rehoboth Beach Marathon in Delaware.
What other reason is there to go to Delaware?
I'm sure there's a lot of great reasons, but for me, another marathon is a great idea.
I'm actually very curious about the state because I've been there like once and just, yeah, anxious to go back and see, you know, see the coast, of course, and everything that Delaware has to offer. So that's the Rehoboth Beach Marathon in Delaware on, what is it, December 2nd, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're going to be there, drop us an email and give us a heads up. We'd like to say hi to as many of you as we can.
The boys and I are also signed up for a 5K this coming Sunday, so they are very excited about that. I think probably more excited about the caramel apple and hot cider they get after completing the race.
Yeah, this is going to be great because all three of our kids are going to be running, you know, including our youngest, who's 7 now, and I don't think he's ever run that far.
Yeah, it will be really neat. Our middle son has been doing a running club at school, and often during the course of an afternoon, he'll run 4 to 5 miles at a time. So he's definitely going to do fine.
Yeah, he might be the kid that becomes a long distance runner.
Of course, we have hopes, but not putting pressure on him.
Well, I'll be doing a Spartan race that same weekend. So I'll definitely be thinking about you guys running the 5K.
You'll be having a slightly bigger challenge than me.
Probably slightly muddier.
Yes.
But there's a lot of great races going on right now. It's just always fun to see the reports that come back, people that have run their first marathon or have run their fifth marathon, and just see how people are progressing is one of the most fun things about doing what we do, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We've heard back from a lot of great people in the MTA community, and it's always fun to cheer them on in their success. And we'll read a few shout outs here.
Let's do it.
This first note comes from Holly. She says, thank you, MTA, for helping me complete my first marathon, Run Crazy Horse in South Dakota, with a smile on my face. I followed your beginner's marathon plan and listened to your podcast, which I really enjoy. Thank you for your fun attitude and great advice.
Well, congrats, Holly, on finishing your first marathon. Angie, there's an option for you for South Dakota, Run Crazy Horse. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, sounds like a good one.
We've been to Crazy Horse a couple times, but didn't know there was a marathon there.
We do now. I'd also like to say congrats to Liz, who is a new member, and also who I met at the Mount Desert Island Marathon. She did the half marathon there as part of her final 20-miler prior to the New York City Marathon, and she got a PR that she wasn't expecting, so that was really cool.
Now that is smart, using a half marathon as a supported training run.
That's right. We like doing that. Also, congrats to Catherine, another new member who did the Mount Desert Island Marathon as her 30th marathon.
30 marathons is epic, let me tell you.
That's right. We'd also like to say congratulations to Academy member Jamie. She says, I ran my first marathon this past Sunday, and I'm so proud of myself. I'm relatively new to running and new to this group, and I'm a type 1 diabetic. And she ran the Milwaukee Marathon and had to overcome a lot of challenges along the way. But it was so exciting to see her post in the group, and the picture of her smiling with her medal was always really inspiring. Also, congratulations to Christina and her husband. They ran their first marathon in Albuquerque. She says, despite both of us getting sick last week, we finished strong. It was a beautiful day for a long run in Albuquerque. Thanks, Angie and Trevor, for the great podcast and information on the website. We didn't make any newbie mistakes.
Now that is what we love to hear.
That's right.
There are plenty of newbie mistakes to be made, let me tell you. So anytime we can help people avoid them, that is music to our ears.
That's right. And we had lots of members who were at the Marine Corps Marathon this year, which is a marathon we've done twice and really love. Congrats to Academy member Megan. She got a 37-minute PR, and she has been working with MTA coach Lynn. And so that's very exciting. And she's also on the hunt for a BQ in the near future.
37 minutes is massive.
That is a huge PR. Also, congratulations to Eric, who did his first marathon at the Marine Corps Marathon. Also, Karen says, my first marathon is in the books. Great course, great crowds. The heat was a killer in the last 6 miles, but thanks to MTA coach Lynn for helping me get to the finish line. Also, I'm pretty sure first races are automatically a PR, right?
Of course, yeah.
PR in distance and time.
Yeah, the Marine Corps Marathon is fantastic. And there's only a marathon. They don't do a half. It's huge. It goes through Washington, D.C., you know, runs you right by the Capitol and so many other sites to see, and extremely well organized. And of course, when you finish, you get handed your finisher's medal by Marines, U.S. Marines.
And congratulations to Academy member Melissa. She says, I love this group and all the support given and received. Although weather conditions and cramping prevented me from a PR, I could say I made the best of every mile and smiled almost the entire time. While I was at the Marine Corps Marathon Expo, I stopped at the Wear Blue Run to Remember booth and asked them to assign me a name of a fallen soldier so I could run in their honor. I found him along the Blue Mile and shed some tears. I tried to make sure I thanked every soldier for their service. My fiancé and I finished our third Marine Corps Marathon and hope to do at least 2 more. And she posted some great pictures in our the Academy group.
Yeah, and I shared them on our Facebook page. It's really neat because they have this, her fiancé is named Bradley, and they have this signature finish line pose where she jumps up on his back like piggyback, and then they take this epic selfie. So I saw that and I'm like, Angie, we need to up our finish line selfie game here.
I don't know if you could support my weight. Usually you're like collapsed on the ground sitting after a marathon.
I should jump on your back.
Yeah, that'd be awkward.
Just do the reverse. That'd be great.
And this note comes from Persephone in the Academy. She says, I completed my first half marathon today, the Dam Half in Grand Prairie, Texas. I felt awesome, miles 1 to 10, but by mile 12, I wanted to die. But I was able to push through and finish meeting my A and B goals.
Well, you did a damn good job, Persephone.
That's right.
At the Dam Half in Grand Prairie, Texas. And I remember feeling that way when I ran my first half marathon. Yeah, definitely. I felt like I was going to die.
Yes, you did. For like 2 days afterward, I think, too.
Oh, maybe not 2 days, maybe one day.
And this final note comes from Academy member Johanna. She says, I'm happy with my 12-minute PR at the Silver Comet Half in Atlanta this morning. I felt strong all throughout, and the rain held off. It may be time for me to sign up for my first full marathon in 2018. I feel that I do have what it takes.
I love how she's kind of on the fence, you know, just kind of yeah. Peering over in the edge. And, you know, if you can run a half marathon with the right training, you can run a full marathon. We believe it. We've seen it happen over and over. So you do have what it takes, Johanna, and all of you who are listening to this. We're just here to support you any way we can. It's great to be on this running journey with you, and we hope you enjoy Angie's recap now of the Mount Desert Island Marathon, which people abbreviate MDI. And this is also a special recap because this was marathon number 50, so Angie's going to share tips and insights from running 50 marathons. Angie, you ready?
I guess. I feel like we should have champagne here or something.
Yeah. All right. This sound is us popping a champagne bottle.
The cheap bottle of champagne. Well on my way, well on my way.
All right, world famous race recap coming at you. Angie finally made it up to the great state of Maine. You can't say Maine without saying the great state of. And you ran a marathon you've been wanting to do for a long time. I've heard you talk about it because, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to steal your thunder. You tell us why you signed up for the Mount Desert Island Marathon.
Well, as everyone knows, I'm doing a marathon in all 50 states, and the great state of Maine was missing among those states. And yeah, I've heard just wonderful things about the Mount Desert Island Marathon, how spectacularly beautiful it was, how well organized, et cetera, from very good sources. And it just hadn't worked out before. And so now that we are more in the eastern part of the United States, I thought, hey, we're, you know, within driving distance, let's do this thing.
And that was before you checked the actual distance.
Then I realized it was a 12-hour drive and that it probably wouldn't work for you and the boys to come with me, and I would be doing the drive by myself. So, yeah.
Well, and you love fall colors. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing.
So I texted you when you were driving up there. I'm like, is it beautiful? And you said, a true feast for the eyes.
Yes, it was very stunningly beautiful this time of the year as I drove up north. And yeah, I felt like everywhere I looked, I should be taking a picture. So I was making mental notes.
Gotta love that.
So the 16th edition of the Mount Desert Island Marathon in Maine took place on Sunday, October 15th, 2017. And the host running club for the Mount Desert Island Marathon is Crow Athletics. And they also offer a half marathon, which is in its fourth year, a team relay, and a kids run. So they've got an event for everyone up there. And the interesting thing is, too, that they recently started the Sea to Summit series, which includes the Mount Desert Island Marathon.
Say that fast three times.
And also the Millinocket Marathon and Half Marathon, which I believe started last year. And Millinocket was a town where I believe as the lumber mill closed, and so a huge source of income was lost for the town. Yeah. And so they started this race. It has free race entry, and they just basically ask people to come to town and spend money in the businesses and help support, you know, the continuation of things. And so that's, you know, it's a really neat thing how they're giving back to that community as well. And if you do the Sea to Summit series, if you do both of them, then you get a special medal, and, you know, it's this really cool thing. So the Race Expo was located at the Atlantic Oceanside Event Center, and it was one of those easy packet pickups where there was a few booths in the room, you know, selling things and different promotions, but it was very easy to get your race packet. In fact, I didn't know my race number, and I just kind of went and randomly stood in front of one of the people, and she's like, what's your race number? I said, I don't know. And she said, I can look it up for you. She looked it up, and I was actually standing in the exact location where my bib was. So somehow I had this internal GPS that led me to that line, which never happens. Anyway, very friendly, helpful volunteers. And the race swag consisted of a long sleeve tech shirt, which is nice. It's not like plastered with logos. You know, it's nice and plain, so You don't feel like you're walking advertisement.
We were talking about the Marine Corps Marathon earlier. Do they still give out mock turtlenecks?
I would imagine they do. I mean, it's one of those shirts that kind of like strangulates you. But you go to the Mount Desert Island Marathon, you're going to get a great race t-shirt. The swag bag had some maple water in it, which is something that's fairly unique. You know, I've never tried before. And they also had a small glass bottle of balsamic vinegar. Nice. From a store. So that was cool. Of course, the usual brochures and things. They also had a pre-race pasta dinner on Saturday evening, which I did not attend since I don't eat very much pasta. But it sounds like they had a good turnout.
So you had lobster Saturday evening.
I don't even remember what I ate. I think I ate in my hotel room. I just picked some stuff up at the store.
But speaking of lobster, did you have any Maine lobster while you were up there?
Sadly, I did not. I had some crab, fresh crab.
Okay.
But no, I failed in the lobster regard. So the Mount Desert Island Marathon tends to fill up every year, which, so if you want to run it, it's important to sign up fairly early. But it has a very good website. They also offer race deferrals, transfers to another runner, and switching between races up until about 6 weeks before the race. So that's a nice feature that some events don't do. Another cool thing is that the race numbers are color-coded so that participants, spectators, race officials can identify the various groups. So the blue bibs were experienced marathoners. Greens were your first marathon. Purple is if you're running for charity. Orange was your relay runner. And then red for doing the half marathon. So that was kind of cool. You could kind of tell at a glance who was doing what. If you were being passed at full speed by someone in an orange bib, you're like, oh, relay. I don't have to feel embarrassed.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. It was neat.
If it's mile two and someone in a green bib goes flying by you, just say, oh, newbie.
I'll be passing them later on.
Been there, done that.
That's right.
I've been that newbie. So it sounds like packet pickup was easy. Smaller town. It's in Bar Harbor, Maine. Anything else go on before the race?
I did an MTA meetup that afternoon. I was able to park in downtown Bar Harbor, and then we got together at a coffee shop, and I was able to meet up with Jason and Katie, Liz and Abby, all from Maine. And there was actually another MTA member there who wasn't able to attend, named Kathleen. So we had a fun time visiting, and it was actually a beautiful day. We were able to sit outside in the sunshine. It was really nice.
And by the way, folks, we do have pictures on the website with the show notes to this episode, as usual.
That's right. And I was really impressed with Bar Harbor. I was able to walk kind of up and down the main street. Of course, it's a beautiful area that gets millions of tourists every year. And there are a lot of great restaurants, art galleries, and culture. And when I was walking around town, I saw a cruise ship that was sitting just off the island. So that contributed to some of the traffic in town. They have a lot of gift shops. And interestingly, Bar Harbor was settled in 1763 by fishermen, shipbuilders, of course, outdoor enthusiasts. And it has Cadillac Mountain, which is the highest point on the North Atlantic seaboard, and also the beautiful Acadia National Park nearby. So there are lots of area activities like hiking, biking, birdwatching, cross-country skiing, snowshoe, horseback, of course, great seafood like you alluded to, the lobster that I did not eat. And Acadia National Park was established in 1916 by President Woodrow Wilson with just 6,000 acres. But because of efforts on its behalf, it's now expanded to 49,000 acres. It encompasses nearly half of Mount Desert Island and a scattering of smaller islands. So it's a pretty good landmass now. And the area has about 125 miles of trails and, of course, some stately lighthouses. So it's a great place to be a runner. Definitely an area for outdoor enthusiasts and runners and people who love nature.
Would you call it quintessential New England?
Well, I can't say that I have a great experience with New England, but it definitely is one of those New England towns that has a lot of charm.
Okay, so take us to race morning and just make us feel it, Angie. What was going on at the starting line race morning?
Well, being a smaller race, it was nice to be able to find a parking spot fairly easily. And of course, it wasn't complicated to get to the starting line. So I like to get there early. So I was there nice and early. And
like how many hours early?
I'm trying to think. I think I left my hotel room at 6:30 in the morning. So I probably was parked and out of the car and everything.
I would have been getting up at that time.
At least by, 10 to 7. The race didn't start to 8. So I probably had about an hour in which to people watch and enjoy the pre-race atmosphere. And they had actually indoor toilets. And the lines weren't very long. So that was pretty nice. I got in, the line for the bathroom, which was always prudent to do race morning. The weather was actually overcast in the mid-50s, so it was really perfect for running. But I did have, like a long-sleeve throwaway just so I wouldn't feel chilled before the race started. Another thing that was helpful is that the half marathon starting line was at a different location. They were basically busing the half marathoners to their starting line, which I believe their time was at 8:30. So there wasn't quite as many, people as there would be normally around the starting area. They also had an early start option for those runners who would take longer than 6.5 hours to do the course. So you could make prior arrangements to do that.
So it was the 6.5 hours, the course cutoff time?
It had a 7-hour time limit.
Okay.
So it was very generous. Then the race announcer did some announcements over the PA system. There was a beach ball being bounced around through the crowd of runners, which was kind of cool. And they played the song Thunderstruck to pump everyone up.
That one always gets me pumped up.
It seemed to work. Now, there weren't any designated corral sections for different paces, and there weren't any pacing teams. So it was just kind of, you know, everyone milling around, finding their spot. And in fact, I was observing the crowd and noticing some people who waited to the very last minute to pin their race bib on. Kind of a newbie thing, you know, they're like, oh, is this crooked? Is this poking themselves in the stomach, you know?
I have never seen that. That's
a new one. Yeah, just very casual about it. And then they had the Star Spangled Banner was played by a trumpeter, and the race cannon sounded at 8 a.m. And we started running along Main Street in Bar Harbor. So good way to get started.
Okay. Well, so far, so good, Angie. Tell us about the course at the Mount Desert Island Marathon. Why is it called Mount Desert Island anyway? Is there a desert? Is there an island? Is there a mountain?
It's an island. It has a mountain. No desert.
All right.
From what I saw. I didn't see the whole island, of course, but a good bit of it. Yeah, so the race start was on Main Street, and it was somewhat flat and slightly downhill before we hit the first of many, many hills.
Did you know it was going to be that hilly?
I had heard that it was going to be very hilly, but I chose to block that out of my mind. So every hill was a new revelation.
Just for the surprise factor when you're out running.
I figured, you know, at that point, I wasn't going to be able to improve my fitness level any, so... You know, why worry about them?
Yeah.
So the course had continued along Otter Creek and Seal Harbor through the Northeast Harbor and up to, I think it's Soamesville, a town. So then it went down the other side to Main Street and Southwest Harbor where the race ended. So it did take in a good portion of the island, a lot of the perimeter of the island. There were not many spectators along the course, just a few through the town areas and around the aid stations. But there were so many beautiful trees and, you know, the water to look at that, I mean, personally, I didn't miss the spectators. But I'm not one who's big on, you know, needing a lot of course support either.
So it was just you and nature and the other runners.
That's right. And the beautiful trees that were in their fall glory. And that made the numerous hills a lot better. It started to get foggy and really misty around the half marathon starting area about halfway through the course, which unfortunately obscured some of the views of the ocean. On a clear day, you'd be able to see the water and just out to some of the other smaller islands and everything. But
yeah,
we didn't get to see much of that, but I was still happy with the amount of...
So you didn't feel cheated, like, hey, I didn't come up here to run in fog.
No, because I'm, you know, I love fall foliage so much that I was just happy being able to see that. I've seen the ocean before, you know. And then it started raining about 10:30 a.m., which was about, I think, mile 16 for me. And it continued raining the rest of the morning. But fortunately, the temperatures were pretty mild, still in the 50s. So if you kept moving, you really didn't get cold. And then there's an area called Sargent Drive. And just parked off in the water was a vessel called the Sunbeam. It was from the Maine Seacoast Mission. And it was out there like tooting its foghorn in support of runners.
That is awesome.
They had someone on the PA system cheering on runners. And then they played Chariots of Fire over the PA. It was just kind of surreal. You're like in the fog. Here's this ship.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like playing Chariots of Fire. You're like running up a hill in beautiful fall colors.
Was it a fishing vessel or a cargo ship or what was it?
I don't really know my boats. I'm sorry.
Okay. So here's this boat and they're seeing these runners. And I can imagine the conversation on board, like someone's, hey, look at those runners. Hey, we should play some music.
No, they're out there on purpose. It wasn't like they just randomly had Chariots of Fire on their playlist.
That boat came to the spot.
Yes, it came there purposely to cheer on runners.
That is awesome.
So it was really cool. And, you know, kind of over water, how sound carries really well. So it was like this kind of really haunting melody. I don't know. It was hard to describe.
Did it make you run slower? That song is a slow song.
Well, I think we were going up a hill at the time, so I probably couldn't have gotten any slower.
And you know what? Those foghorns are really loud. Did that startle people?
Well, at first I kept hearing it and I was like, what is going on? And before we got to that point, I heard the PA. I couldn't really tell what they were saying. I thought, are we that close to the finish line? You know, does it the course loop around or something? And then I figured out when we got there, you know, what was going on. So it was a nice surprise.
Imagine that, folks, getting cheered on by a boat.
That's right.
A freaking boat in the ocean. Score another for the great state of Maine.
And it was kind of funny. Along the course, I like, you know, observing other runners. And this one guy's shirt said, the best pace is a suicide pace, and today is a good day to die. I don't know. I just got the biggest kick out of that. So I talked to him a little bit. And I think he's working on his 50 states. I think he was about at state 10, but it was really kind of, a unique shirt that I'd never seen before.
I like that.
Yeah.
This sort of all or nothing kind of guy.
That's right. So as we got toward the final one quarter of the course, the portion that was designated for runners kind of narrowed significantly, and we were along a busy highway for that final 10K. So this was not my favorite part of the course because we ended up getting splashed by cars who were driving by and treated to vehicle exhaust.
Oh, man. Oh, I hate that.
So, and then you could see like the buses like shuttling runners back to the starting line. So you're like running uphill and being passed by buses of runners who are looking relieved to be done.
No way. So are the runners cheering you guys though? Or are they just like looking at you like feeling pity?
I would say a little of both. And then around the mile 24.5, there was a Sitgo sign as a tribute to the Boston Marathon, because at that point in the Boston Marathon course, of course, you can see the big Sitgo sign. It kind of signals that you're coming in and you're going to be, finished soon.
Did it remind you of your Boston run?
It did. I saw that Sitgo sign. I thought Boston. And then that was before I saw, written in chalk on the road, Boston Strong. I was like, oh, yeah, that is really cool.
That's neat.
But unfortunately, after the race, someone stole the sign.
No way.
So that was
really sad.
So you're
talking about a smaller sign.
It was smaller. Yeah, it was like maybe the size of equivalent to maybe like a stop sign, but rectangular.
How do you know someone stole it?
Because the Facebook page reported that and they were looking for it and just they wanted it back. They didn't care to prosecute. They just wanted the sign back. Apparently, it's the second time it's been stolen. So anyway.
What a mess.
Yes, what a mess.
All right, let's talk about the aid stations and the finish line.
Yeah, so they had aid stations approximately every 2 miles, which were manned by very enthusiastic volunteers. And many of the aid stations had certain themes. One of them had a lady dancing in a fat suit, which by that point in the course, I was like, wow, she's probably been out here dancing for a few hours. It was very impressive in the rain. I always really am thankful for the volunteers, especially on miserable days when, as a runner, you're having trouble like staying warm and having a good time because of the weather, and you think just the volunteers are out here. They're not doing the race. They're not really getting anything out of it. So,
well, she was smart for dancing, keeping herself warm.
Exactly. One of the final aid stations was put on by some midwives in the area, and it was called the Final Push.
Oh, man.
So that was kind of funny. And they had, candy and different things there. But all the aid stations had water and sports drink, and then the last few miles, the ones had gels. So they were good aid stations. For my fueling, I had a Generation Yukan snack bar before the race, and then I had my 2 servings of Yukan in a bottle, which I took throughout the race, and that gave me great energy and kept me going strong. I'm always thankful to Generation Yukan for contributing to my fueling success. And of course, you can get 15% off when you use the promo code MTAMAINE.
Don't forget the E on the end of Maine.
That's right, MAINE.
By the way, folks, if you're listening to this before the New York City Marathon, if you're doing that race, they're going to have a booth there. If you happen to go by their booth, tell them that you heard about them on our podcast. They always appreciate that.
That's right.
So the 2 servings that you took during the run, you mixed beforehand in a small bottle.
Yes.
And then how often did you take a sip or a gulp or whatever?
Well, I have these 2 servings concentrated in an 8-ounce bottle that I carry. And so every 5 miles, I take 2 ounces of my mixture. So at miles 5, 10, 15, and 20 is pretty much my normal routine.
And here's the idea, folks, and this will work for any fuel that you're going to take. I mean, we recommend Yukan, but any fuel that you're used to, you want to keep the furnace stoked and be preemptive in your fueling. You don't want to start fueling after you're feeling like you're going to bonk.
Yeah, if you've bonked, then it's going to take you a while to catch up and you're going to feel pretty miserable in the process. So definitely start fueling early and, regular intervals, and make sure you practice that during your training long run so that you have a good system down for race day.
So let's talk about the finish line at the MDI Marathon.
Yes, the finish line area was in the town of South Harbor, and they had kind of a big finish line festival. Of course, I think that was probably dampened a bit by the rain, literally. my finishing time was 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 42 seconds, so nothing that speedy, but, there were hills. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. They gave out heat sheets, fortunately, at the finish line, so I was thankful to see that because I tend to cool off pretty quickly after I stop running. And for food, they had more maple water, they had sports drinks, they had granola and milk, they had bagels, chips, bananas, and beer, and then they had other food available around there, you know, that you could purchase and everything if you wanted. I found the finishing line area to be a bit confusing and challenging to find, like the gear check area to get my stuff, and then the shuttle bus area to transport us back to the starting line. But in all fairness, the race did include a map in the race packet, which I did glance at, but I tend to get notoriously turned around in my post-marathon confusion. And I asked a couple of volunteers and they kind of seemed, you know, uncertain about things. it took me a while to find that. But once I got to the gear check, it was actually in a building with bathrooms so that I could, you know, change in a bathroom, get out of my running clothes into some compression pants and something dry. So that nice. that was nice. Once I found it, it was worth the wait.
I thought the metal was very creative.
Yes, it was a gold lobster claw. It has a very nice ribbon to it. Very well done, very appropriate for the area. The race also had live results. And another awesome thing was they did free race photos.
I love it when races do that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful bonus.
So did you remember to smile, Angie? This time?
I looked back at some of the race photos and I was grimacing in a lot of them. I don't know why. I don't
that
feel
is so
like,
unlike you because you usually smile the whole time.
I don't feel like I was grimacing during the race. I felt like I was having a good time until the last few miles.
Because of the rain, maybe.
I don't know. I just, had these like very odd expressions on my face. So
how did you do? How were you feeling during this run? Because you've shared a couple episodes ago that you've, you know, had some hormone things that you've been battling and kind of getting back into racing again.
I felt okay going into it. I'm definitely not in top form, and I have to admit that I've been slacking on cross training recently. So my strategy was basically running the flats and downhills and walking briskly up the long hills. And I felt good, I think, for, you know, probably till about mile 20, and then that last stretch did me in a bit.
Yeah.
And I was really seeing the gaps in my training. So since we've moved, it's been kind of hard to just...
You haven't done hardly any yoga since we've moved.
I haven't done as much yoga. And yeah, I haven't been doing the strength training like I need to. So like I'll talk about a little bit later and the lessons that I learned. You know, the marathon is very revealing. It will tell you exactly what kind of shape you're in and if you have any weak areas.
Well, it's interesting because this 50 marathon journey, you've been at various levels of fitness, of your health, you know, where you've been able to run a Boston qualifying time, and then sometimes you've had a build back after pregnancy. Sometimes you just get out there and you're feeling speedy, other days not so. And so, yeah, this is going to be fun to unpack. But before we do that, anything else you want to say about the MDI marathon, other than you recommend it because it's in the great state of Maine?
That's right. Yeah, it's totally beautiful. A great area of the country to visit. Great scenery, fall colors. Of course, I love smaller races. And if, you know, you're not afraid of a few hills.
And some rain.
By saying a few hills, I mean a lot of hills. It was a great one to do for my 39th state and my 50th marathon.
So what did you do after the race was over?
I got on the shuttle bus and talked to some cool people on the bus while we waited for the bus to fill up. The guy who was sitting in front of me, it was his first marathon that he did, and he works on a tugboat. So he works 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. So while he's on the boat for 3 weeks, he can't run at all. And so he has to do all his training in like 3 week segments. So, you know, I was thinking, wow, what a unique way to train. I mean, most people would have thought, oh, I can't train for a marathon doing that.
Yeah.
But he really found a way to make it work. So that was really neat.
That is cool.
Got back to Bar Harbor and basically got in my car and started driving back toward home. I feel like the driving part post-race was actually worse than the marathon itself because, you know, you just have a chance to stiffen up and I don't like sitting a lot as it is. So it was a little bit tough, but I made it.
Well, Angie, congrats on running another marathon and getting another state checked off on your 50-state goal. How many states do you have left now? Is it 12?
11 now.
Okay.
That was my 39th state.
Okay, so now people are going to be curious which 11 you haven't done.
We
got to pull up our map.
Let me look at my document here.
You have a document.
This is my brain. Okay. So states I don't have are Alaska, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Vermont.
So still a lot of great places to go for this 50-state goal. And then after that, you're going to retire from running, right?
Of course not. I don't know what I'll do, but
We should run a marathon in every European country. How's that sound?
Yeah, that would be a good one. Well, of course, I'm trying to do all six world marathon majors, so
yes.
That's an ongoing goal, as well as continuing to visit beautiful places around the world.
Well, now we want to talk about what Angie has learned from 50 marathons. Before we do that, I'd like to really quick thank our sponsor, Sunbasket. Sunbasket makes it easy and more convenient to commit to your health and wellness because they send organic and sustainable ingredients directly to your door. And each Sunbasket meal comes with pre-measured ingredients and easy to follow directions, even if you're not a person that cooks very much, like me.
That's right. I can leave you with a Sunbasket meal to make and know that our children will be fed and it will be a nutritious meal. And you can choose from paleo, lean and clean, gluten-free, vegetarian, and the family options, which are created by an award winning chef and approved by nutritionists. So whatever wellness journey you're on, there's a Sunbasket to meet your nutritional needs.
Just go to sunbasket.com/marathon to get $35 off your first order at sunbasket.com/marathon for $35 off. Well, Angie, doesn't it feel good to say that you've run 50 marathons, just that solid round number?
I do like round numbers, you know, if I'm running and I'm at like 4.87 miles, I have to like keep going until I reach 5 miles. So yeah, I guess there's a certain satisfaction in that.
I like telling people that, yeah, my wife has run 50 marathons. I just say it casually, like, yeah, my wife's run 50 marathons. Just wait for it to sink in.
Mic drop.
But you know, the truth is, Angie's part of this club called the Marathon Maniacs, and there are people who have run like 3 times, yay, even 4 times.
Hundreds of marathons. I call myself a baby maniac. So yeah, things like that keep you from being too impressed with yourself, which is always a good thing.
Exactly. So let's unpack some useful tips, takeaways, stories, inspiration, whatever comes out of this for our listeners, what you've learned from running 50 marathons.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to distill down, but I guess one of the things that stands out is that you never know where running can take you.
Which is a great quote from Bart Yasso, who we just had on the podcast.
That's right. And I was thinking back to, you know, my whole marathon journey. And I was thinking back to, it was almost exactly 10 years ago to this day that I was training for my first marathon.
Yeah.
We had just moved from the state of Montana to Missouri at the time. I had a toddler and a baby at home. And I was feeling a bit depressed and needed something big to challenge me. And really at that time, I didn't know anyone who'd ever run a marathon. I didn't have any friends who were runners. Trevor, you weren't a runner at the time. I had only done 2 5K races. So clearly this was pre-MTA days. That was not even on the horizon for us. And I signed up for the Country Music Marathon in Nashville, Tennessee in April of 2008. And my mom actually paid for my race entry because I couldn't afford that and getting the running shoes I needed to train for the race. So yeah, it was an interesting time in
Those
our
were the days.
Life. I remember printing off a training plan and then running that winter through dark and cold and rain and ice and all the challenges that came with that. I think I learned most things the hard way. Really, at the time, I knew nothing about proper running shoes, about anti-chafing ointment, when to eat pre-run, you know, fueling during a run, and cross-training. So, of course, that led to injury and really a lot of nerves going into the race. You know, I had those nerves that are common to everyone, not sure if I could go the distance, you know, kind of feeling like a lone ranger runner out there, really.
Well, how come you just didn't go look for a great running podcast?
I didn't really know anything about podcasts at the time, and I don't really think there probably were.
Yeah, 2008. Podcasting started in 2005.
Yeah, I just was not that tech savvy. I mean, I guess I don't consider myself that tech savvy still. So I just kind of felt like I was alone in this journey, but in a way that was really exciting and challenging to me because I felt like I was just kind of taking on this marathon thing by myself and I'm not sure of the outcome. And a few things stand out vividly during my first marathon. I don't remember a lot of it, to be honest. I remember sleeping very poorly in a seedy motel in a bad area of town the night before. You know, of course, we did what our budget could afford. I remember being really nervous about getting to the starting line on time because, of course, I was with you and you didn't think we needed to leave that early. Nothing much has changed there. The morning was a little bit wet and rainy, and then I remember an out and back section of the marathon where I was really impressed by the lead runners being so far ahead. I'm like, how can they do that? That's amazing. I don't really remember crossing the finish line, and there's just one picture of that day. I was posing with you and our two boys after I'd gotten my medal, and my finishing time was 4 hours, 10 minutes, and 15 seconds.
That's great for a first marathon.
Yeah.
You probably didn't know that back then.
You know, it was really funny. When you sign up for the race, they ask you to estimate your finishing time, and I put in 4 hours, 10 minutes, and 30 seconds. Isn't that uncanny how close I came?
And remind me again, what was your actual time?
4:10:15. So I was 15 seconds less than what I had just pulled out of a hat, basically.
It's that intuition you have.
I guess.
In your GPS.
I don't know. I can't really explain it.
Same way you got in the exact correct packet pickup line at the MDI marathon.
Yes. Some of my senses have not deserted me.
You were born for this, Angie.
I don't know. I guess, you know, looking back, I wish at the time that I'd made more of an effort to do a race recap, you know, to take pictures, to really remember the day. It's amazing, you know, in 10 years how much it kind of blurs into the background. But yeah, the rest of the day seems really hazy.
I do remember you hobbling, though.
Yes, still do that. But it's funny, you know, at the time I didn't know where running would take me. I did have a sense that even though the marathon contained a lot of discomfort, that I would be back for more, that it would not be my last marathon. But first, after the race, I had to deal with some severe iliotibial band syndrome. So I had to take about 3 months off from running to get my knee pain dealt with. But that was the time that I discovered yoga. So it was really a good thing. I look back on it now that that injury kind of introduced me to the importance of cross training so that I could train smarter, you know, if I decided to do it again.
And you did decide to do it again. What was the motivation for wanting to do another marathon? Because maybe some people listening to this, they've run one, and maybe it just took a lot out of them.
It took a lot out of me, too. I think it was the chance to try to improve, to do it a little bit better. I had this new cross-training element that I knew if I added that into my training would help me so much more. I also decided to only run 3 days a week to train for the second marathon, combined with the cross-training element. And I really wanted to break 4 hours this time. So I signed up for the St. Jude Marathon in Memphis, Tennessee in December of 2009. And I was able to break 4 hours for the first time there. And then, of course, in early 2010, we started the MTA podcast, and you started your journey as a runner, Trevor. So that was a big change in our lives as well.
That's right. You can go back to our very earliest shows, and I'm kind of asking you questions and talking about building up to my first half marathon.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually pregnant with our third son at the time, so I was going through the process of pregnancy and dealing with how that changed my running and everything. And so my third marathon wasn't until March of 2011 at the Little Rock Marathon in Arkansas. And at that time, my sister Autumn ran her first marathon, and you did your first half marathon. So it was a big race for all of us. And so, you know, looking back, since that time, running has obviously become an integral part of my life. I mean, I can't think of my life hardly without running. And I've been able to run marathons in 39 states. Some have been slow, some fast, some hot, some cold, some high, some low. Kind of like a Dr. Seuss book.
Would you run it in the snow?
I would.
Would you run it very slow?
I've been able to meet some incredible people along the way. In fact, many of people out there in the MTA community have been a huge source of inspiration to me, and we always love meeting people at meetups and races. I mean, just even virtually online, being able to connect with people in the academy and
definitely,
and get to know them. That's, you know, been something that's really inspired me along this journey.
So what are some of the highlights from the marathons you've done, like standout races?
Wow. Well, I would say breaking 4 hours for the first time at the St. Jude's Marathon was a really big thing for me. You know, setting that goal and being able to do it. I guess deciding to qualify for the Marathon Maniacs Club, which I decided to do 3 marathons in less than 90 days. And that was a huge challenge at the time because I had just had a baby, so I had 3 little kids at home. You know, it was just seemed like, wow, how can I do this? How can I make this marathon thing really a big part of my life?
Lots of early morning runs.
That's right. Yeah, it was a sacrifice of sleep and free time, and you know, but it was really giving back to my life, and so I really just wanted to make it work.
Explain that for a second, because it sounds like you were enjoying the training. Can you elaborate when you said it was giving back?
Well, you know, I guess in my life, I'm a more of a an introvert, and so I enjoy a lot of time alone. And when you have three little kids, you don't get much time alone. In fact, mommy, mommy, mommy rings throughout the entire day. And so, you know, maybe this sounds bad, but for me, running was an escape. You know, it helped me capture who I was as just a person, mm-hmm. you know, as a woman, not as a mother. I could leave that behind during my runs. I was pursuing a goal that was motivating to me. I felt like it was making me healthier physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could come back then to the family and be a better mother or better wife or better person.
Yeah, well said. In fact, our youngest son would say, "Mommy, Mommy." And you know, if you didn't acknowledge him right then, he would say, "Angie."
So then I hated Angie and Mommy for a while.
I hate the sound of my own name.
Yeah, so it was, you know, it definitely running has been there for a lot of different stages in my life. I remember breaking 3:45 for the first time at the Wineglass Marathon in New York, and I was running with a lady who was trying to qualify for her first Boston Marathon, and I never thought of that as a goal for myself before, but I realized I was fairly close. And there was really nothing that was holding me back. So I kind of had set that in 2011. And of course, it was a rather long road for me. I didn't qualify till 2014.
And you remember how many races it took before you hit that qualifying time?
So yeah, there was actually 20 marathons between that point where I decided I wanted to qualify for Boston and the time I actually did it. Now, all these marathons, I wasn't trying to qualify for Boston.
Yeah.
Because I realized it's impractical and nearly impossible to PR at every single marathon.
For sure.
But there were two attempts to qualify for Boston in between, two serious attempts. One time I missed my BQ by 1 minute and 46 seconds. Mm-hmm. Another time I missed it by 41 seconds. So yeah, that, you know, I had some disillusionment to deal with, but you know, the goal didn't go away. And I realized that if I was patient and trained smart, that my time would come. So, you know, for those of you with long-term goals, be patient. Don't be afraid to make adjustments in your training, but keep that in sight because you can get there.
Perfect.
I remember pacing you for your first marathon, which was interesting, to say the least.
Oh, it was great to have you there. My first marathon was the St. Louis Rock and Roll Marathon in 2011. And it's nice to be able to run with a friend or your spouse, if your marriage can handle it, to have them pace you and just kind of keep you going, because I was really wanting to take more and more walk breaks or longer walk breaks. I remember you and I agreed we were going to take 40 seconds at each water stop because I wanted to get in under, I didn't really care. I just wanted to finish in a decent time, which for me, I think it was around 4.5 hours. But after 18 or 20 miles, my walk breaks got longer and longer, and you couldn't get me going again.
Yes, I remember a certain amount of frustration, and think you considered locking yourself in a porta pot to get away from me and my prodding.
I just wanted to sit down so bad.
That's right.
But I did finish in 4:31.
That's right. So it was a triumph. Then I remember finishing as a second place female at the A2A Marathon in Oklahoma, which was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
I was, the last few miles, I was running through a park area and some guy yelled at me. He's like, "You're in second place." And I was like, "Second place of what?" I look confused. He's like, "There's only one other woman ahead of you." I was like, "Oh." So accidentally finishing second place. Another highlight, of course, was finally getting my BQ at the Foot Traffic Flat Marathon in Oregon. You know, as funny as it sounds, that was one of my easiest marathons. I was in the flow, you know, everything was just clicking. Mm-hmm. I remember like running with a group of people and like talking, you know, as I'm clicking off 8 minute miles and looking down at my watch and being like, "Whoa, 7:50 pace. I better slow down a little bit," but like feeling so good. Mm. I don't know. It was just one of those marathons that does not happen very frequently.
Yeah, that was exciting. And I remember seeing you because I got to park right at the finish line. I remember seeing you maybe like a football field to the finish line. And I'm like, "Angie, you're going to BQ." And you looked at me like, "I don't know." And you had like 5 minutes to spare.
I was like envisioning tripping in a pothole and like, you know, breaking my leg and having to crawl to the finish line.
I guess don't count your chickens, right?
That's all right. I was staying humble. Another highlight was running the Marine Corps Marathon with my sister Autumn. That was one of the most fun races I've done. We were able to just experience that together and
that was better than running My first marathon with me?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm afraid so.
But that's a good takeaway, is that, man, if you can do a race with a friend or with a family member, it makes it even more special.
It does. Yeah, it was really a neat memory for me. Another cool and unique marathon was doing an indoor marathon in Maryland. It was the Hawk Indoor Marathon. I don't believe it's actually there anymore. I think they've moved the location. But somehow I managed to be the first place female. I will mention out of three females. So,
but you smoked those other females.
I don't know about that. So that was a really interesting experience. And then, of course, running the Boston Marathon in 2015 was just, you know, Boston is amazing. So
yeah,
there's not much I can add to that. And then I remember running the Leadville Trail Marathon in Colorado, also in 2015. And that was a huge challenge because the race starts at 10,000 feet and then it climbs to over 12,000 feet. And it's just, you know, rugged. There were times where I was thinking, I could like fall off the side of this cliff and just like die and like no one would find my body.
So that's been your hardest marathon still.
It is, because there's just not any air up there when you're used to running at sea level. And
yeah.
Yeah. So that was incredibly challenging.
Give you a new respect for people that do the Leadville Trail 100.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I can't even imagine that to this day still. I have not built up to that level. And then about 10 days later after the Leadville Trail Marathon, I did my first ultra, which was a 40 miler in Idaho. I think I was still on such a high from Leadville that I was like, oh yeah, 40 miler 10 days later, let's do this thing.
That's right. That was only 10 days.
That same summer, I did two marathons in 2 days in New Mexico, which were also at fairly high elevation. And those were really beautiful. And then later that fall, I did a trail series in Illinois, which on Friday night had a 10K, Saturday morning had a 25K, and Sunday morning had a 50K. So it was like all three of those races in 48 hours or something, less than 48 hours.
So 2015 was a big year racing-wise. That's, you dipped your foot into ultra running?
Yeah, I actually capped off by doing a 50-miler at the North Face 50-miler in Wisconsin. So yeah, it was a big year for me.
So when you were toeing the line at your first marathon or even your second, did you ever imagine yourself doing a 50-miler at that point?
I don't even know that I knew that ultras existed. I mean, I still had my head in the sand of running, I guess. I don't know. I was just doing my thing and didn't really know where this all would go, for sure.
So the lesson is, you'll never know where running can take you. Angie, you've done marathons now all over the country. And of course, you did the Berlin Marathon last year in Germany, which was your first international race and probably not going to be your last international race. So yeah, when you become a runner, you just get out your front door and put one foot in front of the other, but you can never tell where that journey is going to lead. Not everybody has to be as extreme as Angie and do 50 miles and this many races, but you know, it's all about discovering what capabilities you have and pushing yourself and testing the limits of your endurance, because you can do more than you think you can.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's running journey looks different, and that's good. And everyone's goals are different. And that's what makes the running community so diverse and, you know, such an awesome place. And I guess that leads me to my second lesson, which is that the marathon reveals what is inside. So we've talked about this on the podcast through the years, that it's really important to respect the distance. If you have a mental or physical weakness, if you have lack of preparation, if you're having fueling problems, et cetera, the marathon is going to let you know.
When you say mental weakness, you're talking about like negative thinking. You're talking about not having a strong mental game, going into a place of despair when you're out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just never know what kind of thoughts are going to come into your mind when you're facing challenges, when you're in pain or discomfort. And you can start having this self-doubt, which is natural to everyone. And learning how you're going to overcome that is a big part of the process of marathons. You know, also, if you slack in your training, your body's going to let you know during the marathon. And if you run enough marathons, there will be a point when you realize that with all the running highs, there also comes a lot of lows. There's been points during races where I've promised myself that after I finished that particular race, I would never run another marathon. And that's what got me through, you know? It's like, yeah. Okay, this is the last one. I just had to finish this marathon, and I never have to do it again. Of course, then, you know, a few days later, I was signed up for my next one. A lot of self-deception here. You know, there have been many miles where every step felt like agony. I've had falls, lots of chafing, numerous black toenails, sore muscles, various niggles. You know, I've had to be very conscious about avoiding injury. There have been times where I didn't know if I wanted to keep on running marathons, but there's something that has always kept bringing me back. So, you know, like we said before, you never know where your running journey is going to take you. It's going to be unique to each person. It's going to be unique in each point of your life. And I think just saying yes to challenges is a big part of that. And I read this quote recently from author and TV producer Shonda Rhimes. She says, "Sometimes you have to say yes to something that terrifies you. Sometimes yes feels like the sun." And kind of what I took away from that is that, you know, sometimes saying yes to something that you know in your heart you have to do is going to be one of the scariest things that you've ever had to face before. But also sometimes saying yes is going to feel like one of those mountaintop experiences where the sun breaks through the clouds and it just warms you and you just feel like this is what you're supposed to be doing in the world. So, you know, continuing to say yes and not being stagnant in your life, and, you know, it looks different for every person, but persistence pays off in the marathon. And I really truly believe that long distance running can transform you into a better version of yourself. I believe that's it's done that for me. And that's one of the reasons we keep doing this podcast, to encourage our listening audience that they can be a better version of themselves, whatever that looks like to you.
And maybe as a third lesson, maybe you can speak about training smart, because it's great, you know, that we have big goals and dreams, but you ran 50 marathons and that took a lot of intentionality to take care of little things before they became bigger things, to do your injury prevention, stretching, yoga, supplements, all that stuff, you know, all the smart training stuff. You've basically been able to do 50 marathons without any like major injuries.
Yeah, that's right. I think as you do marathons, it helps you to get to know your body better. And the smart runner doesn't ignore warning signs. And I'm not saying I've done this perfectly. I've certainly struggled with little niggles, but, you know, I know to get on them early. If I start feeling a little bit of plantar fasciitis in my right foot, which I know that's usually where it props up, I know I have to start working on that and not just ignoring it and hoping it'll go away, because it usually doesn't go away. You know, I've struggled with some hormonal issues in the last couple of years. And so that's, you know, changed what my running life has looked like a little bit. And it required me to take about a year off from racing, which was different than what I've been doing before. But, you know, I kept my focus on being a healthy person, being a strong runner for life. And so sometimes that means during certain seasons of your life, your running's going to look a little bit different. It may require you to take a little bit of time off, to implement more cross training, more rest days, to focus on better nutrition. Because sometimes, you know, long distance runners, we think, oh, we can eat whatever we want. And sometimes that doesn't work out so well. It's continuing to be a learner and realizing that, you know, as you continue on the long distance running journey, you have to be in partnership with your body. And you have to realize that your overall health is the most important thing. And that if you take care of yourself, it can be really a wonderful journey. And I guess as a fourth lesson, I would like to point out that really marathons are a privilege and a reason to feel gratitude. I look back and no matter how miserable I am at any particular point during training or on a race day, I can always fall back on the fact that being able to do marathons is something I'm incredibly thankful for. You know, there are many areas of life where we don't get to choose our pain. But the marathon is something that I have chosen, and the pain lets me know that I'm not settling into a comfort zone, that I'm fully alive. And, you know, part of that gratitude as well is being able to just experience more of the world, being able to travel to amazing places that I wouldn't go otherwise, being able to meet a diverse group of people who are, you know, really encouraging and amazing. So yeah, I feel incredibly grateful for the life that running has given me, or the way running has added to my life.
And for many years, you got to run all over Sikeston, Missouri.
Lucky me.
Yeah, but I mean, to the point of just experiencing the world could be just your own backyard, metaphorically speaking, like just running in your area every day, you know?
Yeah, as a runner, you look at the world with new eyes. You really notice intricacies of your neighborhood, your surroundings.
Like, why didn't they pour the sidewalk the whole way? Why does it end right here?
Yeah, you'll notice changes, you know, and whether it's the trees or animals that you run across day by day. And so I really think that running enhances your senses and causes you to experience the world more fully.
Well said. Well, thank you, Angie, for sharing some lessons with us. We hope that was a help and inspiration to you folks listening. Dream big, set some goals that might scare you, and have the courage to just start. And wherever you are on your running journey, we love to hear from you and connect with you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, at Marathon Academy, and of course on our website. If you want to see pictures from Angie's most recent race, they're there, and lots of other goodies. That's marathontrainingacademy.com. Until next time, folks, keep taking action toward your goals. You'll get there. And remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way.